Welcome to Today on Broadway for Tuesday, March 21st, 2017. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway Star's James Marino.
James, before we get started, we have not one, but two pieces of really exciting news. The first of a life-making variety, so let's start with that one. Congratulations to the wonderful and talented and sweet Megan Hilty and her husband, Brian Gallagher, who welcomed their second child, not yesterday Monday, but the previous Monday, March 13th. Ronan Lane Gallagher was born on the 13th, and Hilty said to People magazine, "We are overjoyed with the new addition to our little family. It's incredible how much love you can feel for someone you've just met." Their first daughter, Viola, is 2.5, so congratulations. We know they've moved out to California to kind of pursue their music and acting careers out there, but Megan is one of the bright stars of Broadway, so hopefully we'll have her back on the board soon. But if not, congratulations on their growing family.
Oh, that's really nice. But her going out to the West Coast, that's like the best worst thing that could have ever happened.
Oh, nice segue into our next piece of exciting news. We've told you before about the best worst thing that ever could have happened, the documentary on the original Broadway production of Merrily We Roll Along. We told you about the screenings that it's done, and then we told you that it was for rent on iTunes. Now it is available across pretty much all streaming platforms, including, most important for me, Netflix, because if you have a Netflix subscription, it's free. James, I think you have the full list of everywhere you can get the documentary, right?
You can get it on iTunes, Google Play, Amazon, Vudu, and Netflix, as you mentioned.
So
I wonder if we can do some sort of new 21st century book club thing where we could all watch the best worst thing that ever could have happened together, and then maybe have a Slack channel or podcast about it or something like that. I wonder.
I think that's great. Maybe we can get Lonnie Price on to talk about it and take listener questions. Do you know Lonnie?
Yeah, that's a possibility. Yeah. Sure.
I love it. Let's do it.
All right.
nothing like programming and spitballing on the fly.
All right. So first up, Al Menken?
Alan Menken.
Yeah, it says Al Menken. I'm not that casual with him. You know,
no.
Alan Menken has an unusual casting idea for the Little Mermaid live adaptation.
Okay, we've talked about all these live adaptations that Disney is doing of its beloved animated movie musicals. We know that Lin-Manuel Miranda is in some way going to be involved with the Little Mermaid live adaptation. Well, composer extraordinaire Alan Menken the other day talked with the website Gay Times and said that his dream casting for Ursula in the live adaptation of Little Mermaid is none other than multiple Tony Award winner Harvey Fierstein. Well, I don't know if that's exactly the direction that Disney wants to go, and I think there's probably an actress who probably would do just fine in that role. It's really funny, and it's really interesting. And Harvey, in his normal, you know, wonderful way, posted on Facebook following up with that, saying, quote, "Oh, Alan, no need to kill anyone. Your wish is my command. As for the rest of you, oh, you poor, unfortunate souls," with about 5 or 6 exclamation points. So probably not going to happen, but that is something that I would not mind seeing at, like, the Hollywood Bowl or the Muni. We're having Harvey do it for a limited run, because I think that would be absolutely hilarious to see him in the octopus costume. I think that would be awesome. So who knows? Maybe a Harvey Fierstein as Ursula, you know, production is in the works in the future.
Maybe, like, out in the Hollywood Bowl, that's a great idea, like the Little Mermaid backwards.
They did the Hollywood Bowl concert of Little Mermaid last year. If you remember, Sarah Bareilles and Darren Criss were in it.
That's right.
But I think it was so successful they had to add a bunch of different performances. So maybe this year they just twist it all around. I like it.
Okay. Also, because it's that time of year, the last week's Broadway grosses. Tell us about that.
Okay, so Broadway saw another strong increase last week as spring break travelers started to come into the city. As a whole, Broadway grosses were up 8.46% or $2,340,000 with the same number of shows on the board. Even though two shows started performances, there were two that weren't on the boards from the previous week, one being Jitney, which closed, the other being Jake Gyllenhaal and the cast of Sunday in the Park with George going dark for a week so that Jake could do press for his new movie Life, which I'm seeing tomorrow night. The two new shows were Groundhog Day and Hello, Dolly. Bette Midler and company did a whopping $1.4 million in just five performances, while Groundhog Day did just $213,000 on two performances. But if you were online at all around that first performance, you know that kind of the whole thing was scrapped halfway through when they had a tech issue. They did a concert version and then gave away comps to the audience. So I think we can give them a pass for their first week. I'm sure that once they start getting into more performances, everything will be just fine with their grosses. Hamilton saw the biggest decline of the week, down 280K, but still led the way with $2,865,344. The Lion King was next, at just $3,600 under $2 million. They were followed by Aladdin, Dolly, Mormon, Sunset Boulevard, School of Rock, Phantom of the Opera, Dear Evan Hansen, and Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812, all above $1 million. And of course, I always have to throw in the caveat, the weekly reminder that Sunset is only doing seven performances, so being up there in that rarefied air, they are doing it with one less performance than everyone else. And Sunset was one of not one, not two, but three Andrew Lloyd Webber shows in the top 10 of Broadway grosses last week. So it's nice that he's finally having some success and making some money after struggling along as a starving artist for his entire career. James, the usual suspects, unfortunately, of Significant Other and In Transit were bringing up the rear, both actually dropping either $16,000 or $17,000 from the previous week. Significant Other did a scant $148,527, and In Transit was at $198,000. I feel like we're kind of piling on if we say anything more about those, but the writing's on the wall for both unless producers want to kick in some extra money. Going from four to seven performances, Amelie did just $557,000. This is one that I'm really interested in, James. I want to see how this kind of trends forward. It's not a show that's getting great word of mouth, but it is a property that a certain population of Broadway theater goers will know, and Philippa Sue obviously has a little bit of cachet coming off of Hamilton with her, so it'll be interesting to see how that goes as well. The Play That Goes Wrong in eight performances did $332,881. That's one where I'm interested to see if a good word of mouth, or at least a fun word of mouth, starts to appeal as more tourists come into New York.
I didn't realize that they were taking the week off when Jake was out. I thought that there was going to be an understudy that went on.
Oh, come on now. No one's going to go see that without Jake. They'd have to turn.
I think Jake was great. I think Jake was great, but certainly he's not the only person in New York that could do that role.
Sure, absolutely true.
And, you know, if they threw Josh Groban into it, you know.
He's busy. But this is actually something that was written in. They didn't sell any tickets. This is not a surprise. This is something that was always planned. And the 10-week run is actually 9 weeks. I don't remember. I don't recall off the top of my head if when Jake was originally supposed to do Burn This, I don't know if they were supposed to start by now. I don't know if maybe they were going to wait until April to have an April opening so that he could do the press for the Life or for Life or not. So I should look at that and kind of see if that was something that kind of changed with the different show that went into the Hudson.
So what you're saying is that Jake Gyllenhaal's doing 9.5 weeks on Broadway?
No. That's probably more of an off Broadway show type thing there for the four people who remember 9.5 weeks. I've never actually seen it. I just know of it. My parents would probably never let me watch it when it was actually out. But no, I'm sure ticket prices like that, if they did that show and Jake was in it, they could probably rival some Hello, Dolly, Hamilton ticket prices.
I bet you that they could rewrite 9.5 weeks to a Broadway show these days. I think that.
I'm staying out of that one.
I don't think it's as hot and heavy as you think it is.
I think I was a good Catholic school boy. I never saw it.
All right. Put on your plaid skirt and tell us about the show and casting news.
Catholic school boy. Today, very exciting news. Today, Javier Munoz returns to the title role of Hamilton. We've told you before that he had to take a medical leave after sustaining an injury. We think it was his ankle. Javion McFerrin, who was his alternate, stepped in during the injury period. But yesterday, Munoz himself announced via Twitter that he will officially return today on March 21st. So congratulations to him. And I'm excited to see him play opposite of Brian D'Arcy James when BDJ joins the company mid-April, April 14th, I believe. Also in the show and casting news, yesterday it was announced that the New York Pops will welcome a slew of Broadway stars on April 21st when they look back at the great songs of James Taylor, Carole King, and more. In the concert will be one Christopher Jackson. Speaking of Hamilton, he will be joining the previously announced Will Chase, Jesse Mueller, Adrian Warren, and more. A really, really great group of Broadway stars as, you know, doing some of the best music, in my opinion, that's ever been written. I have the James Taylor greatest hits on my iPhone. I almost called it an iPod. Who the hell has an iPod anymore? On my iPhone, it's one of my go-to in the car to jam out to and sing when no one can actually hear me.
Well, I see fire and I see rain and I see Supergirl and the Flash and a musical crossover tonight.
Yes, I am beating this drum because I know that almost nobody else that listens to this podcast cares other than me. But this is like the perfect cross section of everything that I love. Tonight will be the official musical crossover. Last night, it kind of started with Darren Criss's Music Meister starting on Supergirl. But tonight, you will see the singing and dancing of Grant Gustin, Melissa Benoist, Darren Criss, Jeremy Jordan, Jesse L. Martin, Victor Garber, John Barrowman, and Carlos Valdez. I could not be more excited. And I've been stalking the CW's press site, and they have not put up a screener. So I'm very upset about that. But I will be watching it live, James, since I'm going to be doing the show by myself tonight for tomorrow's episode. We'll be starting it after the Flash is over. There's a preview of the song that Rachel Bloom wrote for them. It's called Super Friends, which is hilarious. If you know the history of Super Friends, it was a cartoon about some of these characters. So definitely check that out. We'll have that in the show notes. And I am giddily excited about this episode of The Flash tonight.
All right. And finally, Broadway Stars Unite for an epic Broadway pop music mashup.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun. It's a slow news day, so I kind of trolled around some of the videos on Broadway World, and I found this one, and this is really, really fun, and it has some great voices. Nathan Lucrezio is a member of the Broadway cast of Aladdin, and he got some of his friends together to do this huge mashup of Waving Through a Window from Dear Evan Hansen, Ordinary Day in a Thousand Miles by the, I guess, pop folky artist Vanessa Carlton, along with No Day But Today from Rent and Just Another Day from Next to Normal. He is joined by Carolyn Bowman, who's been in Wicked, Samantha Macell, who was just in Fiddler on the Roof, along with Trent Saunders and Angelo Soriano, also of Aladdin. They do this great thing, and they're going around New York City. It's a lot of fun. So definitely check that out. It's, it's just a kind of a fun way to spend the second full day of spring. Listen to some great Broadway voices singing some great songs.
All right, Matt, this is it for me this week. I won't be speaking to you, so why don't you get us out of here?
All right, yeah, I will be me tomorrow, you by yourself the next day, and then me closing out the week on Friday. We're like ships crossing in the press event night. So either way, thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio. You can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt and subscribe to Something Like a Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play.
And my name is James Marino, BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. I will be seeing The Price up at the American Airlines Theater on Tuesday night, and on Thursday night, How to Transcend a Happy Marriage up at the New House. So if you were up there,
interesting.
Stop by and say hello.
And, wonder why you're going to see that off-Broadway show at this time of year.
And I will speak to you on Thursday morning.
Probably not a good idea to try to talk to James during How to Transcend a Happy Marriage. He's going to be otherwise occupied.
Shh, quiet.
As you die from coughing.